What if the most powerful people in the world weren't hiding their plans to take everything you own, but broadcasting them openly? In 2016, the World Economic Forum released a now infamous video predicting life in 2030. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy. Most dismissed it as dystopian fantasy, but look around. Subscription fees for car features you already paid for, digital ownership that evaporates with a terms of service update, institutional investors outbidding families for starter homes. The signs aren't subtle anymore. This isn't about natural economic evolution. It's a coordinated effort involving global institutions, central banks, and tech giants to fundamentally restructure who controls wealth and property. The question isn't whether this transformation is happening, it's whether you'll recognize it in time to protect what's yours. Early 2020 revealed the mechanism clearly. Healthcare workers went from heroes to unemployed when they refused compliance. Jenny, a registered nurse with 21 years of experience and natural immunity, lost everything when her religious exemption was denied. Mayo Clinic terminated 700 employees. New York dismissed 1,400 workers. Over 60,000 military personnel were separated. The method? Government weaponized funding streams, threatening to cut Medicare and Medicaid payments to non-compliant facilities. Modern control doesn't require overt force. It separates people from their livelihoods. Your ability to work becomes contingent on compliance. We don't call it social credit, but the infrastructure is operational. China's system makes explicit what's emerging here. By 2019, 23 million Chinese citizens were blacklisted from travel due to low scores. Their children faced education restrictions. Their bank accounts froze. After witnessing officials publicly attack citizens by name, mandate medical procedures, and classify workers as non-essential, the technical infrastructure and social acceptance for comprehensive social credit already exist. We're just waiting for someone to flip the switch. Financial empires follow predictable arcs. The Dutch built the world's first global financial system through superior shipbuilding and trade networks, with Amsterdam as financial capital. Government overspending, war costs, and rising competitors crushed them. Britain followed the same trajectory. Industrial Revolution prosperity, London as financial center, the pound sterling as reserve currency, then excessive borrowing, and World War I as the catalyst for decline. America's turn came after World War II. The 1944 Bretton Woods Agreement cemented dollar dominance when 44 countries met in New Hampshire. With 40% of global gold reserves and Europe drowning in war debt, America dictated terms. All currencies would tie to the dollar, pegged to gold at $35 per ounce. But economist Robert Triffin identified the fatal flaw. To supply the world with dollars, America would run trade deficits, making exports costlier and imports cheaper. Gold reserves drained from 21,000 to 8,000 metric tons. On August 15, 1971, President Nixon ended dollar convertibility to gold, creating pure fiat currency backed only by faith. The petrodollar system emerged as replacement, requiring all oil transactions worldwide to occur in dollars, forcing nations to maintain dollar reserves. For decades, the U.S. made difficult choices to maintain this system, like Fed Chair Volcker raising interest rates to nearly 20% in the early 1980s, sending unemployment to 11%. But by 2004, the Fed chose domestic concerns over dollar stability. The Great Recession brought zero interest rates and quantitative easing, further eroding international confidence. Today, America exhibits every late-cycle empire symptom: excessive borrowing, declining competitiveness, wealth conflicts, internal division, and rising competitors. Elites manufacture crises through a proven playbook, establish existential stakes, position authorities as saviors, make other concerns trivial, then build wealth transfer mechanisms into the solution. Climate change fits perfectly. Apocalyptic threat, anointed experts, moral urgency justifying any sacrifice, and regulatory apparatus funneling money to consultants and financial professionals. COVID deployed the same playbook. The World Economic Forum coordinates this agenda, Founded in 1971 by Klaus Schwab, it evolved from business symposium into powerful reshaper of global systems. Schwab boasts his Young Global Leaders program has penetrated the cabinets of governments worldwide. Their Great Reset envisions 2030, where you own nothing and rent everything. The World Health Organization provides another control lever. Their 2022 pandemic treaty proposal would grant unprecedented power over sovereign nations, emphasizing vaccines, surveillance, and controlling misinformation. Their two-year budget exceeds $6 billion, with U.S. taxpayers contributing $434 million in 2022 alone. When powerful organizations align towards centralizing control at individual freedom's expense, noticing isn't paranoia, it's prudence. The question is whether American ideals will survive this transition. When Rome declined, Emperor Nero recalled coins, reduced their silver content, and pocketed the difference. By the 3rd century, the denarius contained only 0.5% silver. Prices increased nearly 1,000%. This currency debasement has marked every major empire's decline. America is following the same script. The dollar has lost 97% of its purchasing power since the Federal Reserve's creation in 1913, and 86% since abandoning the gold standard in 1971. The Federal Reserve, supposedly designed for economic stability, has become a tool for propping up Wall Street and enabling reckless government spending. It operates without meaningful accountability, no real audits, no full meeting transcripts, no proper oversight. During the Great Recession, quantitative easing exploded their balance sheet from under $1 trillion through large-scale securities purchases with created money, the modern equivalent of Nero's coin debasement. Interest rates stayed near zero for 7 years, creating a massive wealth transfer while average Americans lost homes and savings. Modern monetary theory claims countries controlling their own currency needn't worry about deficits since they can always print more money. This ignores that printing money without corresponding productivity increases simply devalues each dollar. When COVID hit, the Fed ballooned their balance sheet to nearly $9 trillion, while Biden's $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan flooded an already stimulus-saturated economy. The result? $8.5 trillion drained from the stock market in early 2022, with $3.4 trillion from retirement funds. This is wealth destruction by design. Imagine your digital wallet frozen for criticizing government policy. Central bank digital currencies make this possible, government-backed digital money where every transaction is traceable. Unlike cash, CBDCs allow authorities to monitor purchases, freeze accounts, and tie financial access to behavior. This surveillance is expanding. The American Rescue Plan lowered payment reporting thresholds from $20,000 to $600. The Inflation Reduction Act funded 87,000 new IRS agents for enforcement, far exceeding what's needed for 800 billionaires. CBDCs would devastate banking. Digital wallet funds can't be lent like traditional deposits, forcing banks to charge substantial fees. Worse, centralized currency creates catastrophic cybersecurity risk. One sophisticated hack could collapse entire economies. Meanwhile, BMW sells heated seats as subscriptions. You own the car and hardware, but pay monthly to activate installed features. This exemplifies the World Economic Forum's vision, products becoming services, where consumers own nothing while companies collect endless fees. A new technocracy has emerged where technology companies function as shadow governments. Two firms control 99% of mobile operating systems. Big tech has become essential infrastructure, yet operates without constitutional protections, censoring arbitrarily and replacing rights with terms of service agreements. We create valuable content for billion-dollar platforms, but own neither our accounts nor relationships. Twitter claimed you own your content, while granting itself worldwide, non-exclusive, royalty-free license to use it. Platforms systematically train us to accept non-ownership, music, books, and physical goods replaced by subscriptions. This extends to virtual goods, where people spend thousands on digital assets they can't trade. tech platforms engineer addiction through gamification, targeting whales who spend unlimited amounts. Big tech is investing hundreds of billions in the metaverse, immersive digital worlds where they'll sell virtual items. Fundamental questions remain. Is digital ownership genuine or merely licensed? Do banned users forfeit digital assets? When you can't buy food without government permission, transmitted through infrastructure they control completely, freedom becomes memory. The battle isn't lost. Follow what wealthy people actually do. They're accumulating land. Eliminate non-productive debt and distinguish expenses from investments. Build a diversified portfolio of tangible, productive assets. With dollar devaluation concerns, add hedges like gold and precious metals, which have maintained value for over 5,000 years. Central banks are shedding dollars for gold. As ECB Chair Mario Draghi noted, gold serves as a reserve of safety. Purchase physical gold rather than paper gold or ETFs, which may not be backed by actual metal during turbulent times. Consider de-technologizing your life with analog alternatives. Support smaller companies that treat you as partners. Acquire tangible property, your own home, and, if possible, land with water rights. Choose ownership-friendly states with lower taxes. With inheritances estimated at $84.4 trillion over the next 25 years, robust estate planning is crucial. America's emerging social credit system is most powerful when it isolates you. The remedy is establishing genuine, in-person communities built around shared values. Offline connections matter most when facing accusations of wrongthink. Happiness runs directly through ownership. You will not be happy owning nothing. Fight back by gathering your community and protecting your property rights. Own everything you can. In a world where ownership is under assault, holding on to what's yours becomes the most powerful form of resistance.